Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 19, Back to Normal. So this is the first episode we're seeing Barry powerless completely. Not just injured, but literally powerless.
Yeah, he already had his powers taken away, which sucks that Speed Force did everything for him. As you can see at the opening montage that they had of it.
Yeah, you can see how he'd integrated into his regular life. And now, well, now it's just him going back to, I guess, the way he did things. And, you know, it's weird to see Barry like this in that he's so incredibly helpless. And while you see him, you know, fall into despair and fall into depression, you don't necessarily ever see him helpless. There's always, like, this sense of hope. But this is one of the first times where it feels really hopeless for him.
Yeah, it kind of pushes the boundaries of what he was used to. He was so used to being the Flash, doing everything really quickly, finishing all his work, and then just getting through fighting crime and then sleeping it off and doing the same thing all over again. But now this is where it completely turns his world upside down. It's like, well, I got to resort back to how I used to be. And it sucks that he has to make pretty much every single trip that he's done, everything else, stay in the office and then go through all those minor things that he pretty much found that were completely useless and pathetic.
You know, it's really like the mundane things in life, like riding the bus. I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, now I got to do this. And now it's not, you know, I don't instantly teleport somewhere. So yeah. I got to kind of wait and stuff like that. No, yeah, it's cool kind of seeing that character there because you're sort of seeing what Barry was like before the powers. So it's, in essence, you're seeing, you know, just Barry.
I like the fact that they did that too, because honestly, the comic book characters have gone through like powers being taken away or certain things that were just taken away from them. They had to resort back to what they used to do. And it's great that they actually went to this as well, because this actually shows that there's versatility within the stuff that they're actually writing as well in the show.
Yeah, it does show that they can write something for a character, you know, even though he's not that specific character. Speaking of, now we're seeing Hunter Zolomon, or, you know, Jay Garrick. We're seeing him interact with Caitlin, and we're starting to realize, okay, well, he did kidnap her because he was in love with her. And he's still very much in love with her, and he kind of, you get this feeling that he hopes that she'll come around, and that he genuinely believes she will come around.
Yeah, I can see that from actually happening, because they've been together, and they've shared moments together, so that's why he feels that there is going to be some sort of bond between them two, actually somehow in the future, going to be together. But she knows that since he is evil now, it's going to be a little difficult to do that.
You don't think there's anything that Caitlin can do that would change Zoom?
Well, essentially, she changed him to begin with, because he was going to kill Barry. She stopped that. And not only that, like, he seems to listen to her.
Yeah, to an extent. He really does.
Like, it really, it feels that he is conflicted. But the thing is, he doesn't want to be known as that monster that everyone sees him, and she saw him as not being that monster, but then eventually she calls him a monster, which is, it essentially ticked him off, and that's when he's pretty much going to go pretty much haywire the entire time. Like, I can't really see them actually becoming whole. I can't.
Now, there's also that cool scene where, well, the whole interaction between her and her doppelganger.
Yeah.
So it's Caitlin and Killer Frost. Mm. I thought that was sick, dude. Like, just to see the same actress essentially playing these two different characters and sort of interacting with herself. And, you know, aside from that, you know, the characters themselves, seeing Caitlin and Killer Frost talk to one another and being like, so what happened here? And I think it's a great moment for Caitlin to be like, okay, what made you you and what made me me?
Yeah, I like that little interaction that they have. It was pretty good. They got to pretty much talk amongst each other and actually kind of see similarities within each other, and the fact that they would both have the same mother that was still the same bitch that they both said.
Oh yeah, like they both had the same horrible upbringing essentially.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty good, because you can see that they've had a bad upbringing to begin with, and it didn't really change much. But as soon as the particle accelerator exploded, you can see one became nice, the other one became just a psychopath.
Now, One of the subplots in this episode is Harrison Wells finding Jesse. So he does manage to track her down. You know, she has her own apartment. And for a girl that's not even from this world, or like, you know, from that planet or that universe, she sort of seems to adapt relatively well.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's just like normal. She just can get on with her normal life. She's not like her father where he requires just work and being alone and not really, and just interacting really little and demeaning everybody. And yeah. then getting through his day, drink his coffee, sleeping, and do the same thing all over again. But her, she's really calm about it. She knows she left a lot of stuff behind, which is like, it's devastating, but she got on with her life.
I did like that she was able to adapt so easily. Mm-hmm. And I did like that she was able to be in this world and like perfect, and not, I guess not necessarily perfectly fine, but you know, functioning to an extent.
The only thing I'm worried about is like how she has money. That's the thing,
right? Like what is she doing? Because they never really mentions like she had a job or anything like that.
Yeah, or if she has some sort of currency with her either. So
true. Now, one of the things we do see is that Harrison Wells gets kidnapped by Griffin Gray, mm-hmm. who believes he's, you know, the Harrison Wells from Earth One. Even though, you know, that Harrison Wells has been dead for a while, but he doesn't know any better.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously he looks like him. He kidnaps him and he basically tells him, like, look, you got to reverse the effects of the particle accelerator because I'm dying. And yeah, essentially that's what's happening. As he uses his powers, it's wearing him down and it's turning him into an old man. Something that he doesn't necessarily realize, I think, at the beginning. He doesn't really know that it's because he's overusing his powers.
But I like how Team Flash actually realizes that, yeah, that's the only reason why he keeps aging a lot faster, which makes sense because since the amount of exertion he's using, that's what causes his pretty much acceleration in lifespan.
You think Harrison Wells dealt a lot with the repercussions of the particle accelerator? Because it seems like in Earth 2, he's still a very prominent figure, like prominent public figure. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like he was ostracized in any way for, you know, what happened with the particle accelerator. So you think he ever dealt with that in like Earth 2?
I believe he does. That's probably why he's always constantly working a lot. And he's figured out ways to stop some of these metahumans as well. That's why he even said too, it's like, I have something that can stop Jay Garrick, that in case he ever like double crossed everybody. Like he's essentially chaotic good because he wants to protect the entire world, but his ideas are way more far-fetched than most of the other people actually think.
Yeah, he's Harrison Wells pretty out there, man. Now, one of the things we do see throughout the episode is, you know, Wally wants to meet the Flash, and it sort of seems that his interaction with the Flash has changed something fundamental within Wally. Like, he's much, I wouldn't say obsessed, but he's much more interested in the Flash now.
Yeah, because, you know, his interest has always been speed, so there's got to be, so the Flash is pretty much becoming his interest now. Like, he has speed, he's quick, he takes down people, so he wants to, pretty much, he wants to be him. You can see it in his eyes, he wants to be just like him.
He definitely idolizes him now, and it would only make sense. Like, Flash is the fastest person, well, I mean, Zoom technically right now.
Yeah.
But, essentially, like, Flash is the most, like, the fastest person there, so you would think, like, his curiosity would naturally gravitate towards him.
Yeah, and it's crazy that he's been pressuring Joe essentially to pretty much saying, hey, can I meet him? Oh, you know who he is? Can you tell me who he is? He's like, no, that's a big secret. I can't tell, or else it will change like everything.
Now, throughout the episode, we do see Caitlin trying to help Killer Frost out of her prison, and she does finally manage to get her out of there, only to have Killer Frost instantly backstab her. And she says something interesting. She says that she realized why Zoom had kept her captive, and that's because she looked like Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And she realized, okay, well, now that he actually has Caitlin, there's really no incentive to keep me alive. So she does try to kill Caitlin.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous like how she tries to do it.
Backfires on her big time, dude.
Ooh, yeah, and then that's one of those few things I rarely see is there is the amount of speed force that majority of these people control. He phased right through Caitlin.
And yeah, I've no issue.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Barry even attempt to do that. He's gone through solid objects, but not that. And it's the first time we see that, too.
Well, I don't think Barry would ever do it, just because it reminds him a lot of Ubar Thawne and how he tended to kill people.
Yeah.
And even Zoom, like that's kind of his go-to move when he wants to kill someone. Just, like, vibes right into him and, like, I guess distorts their hearts.
Probably, or stops their heart, or shatters their heart, whatever one takes.
Something along those lines.
One of those two, yeah. But anyways, Griffin Grey, that's who are pretty much main villain. That's their adversary they're having today. I like him because he actually has a really cool backstory in the comic books, and they made it differently here, which is great. It's pretty much similar to how it is in the comics, but the only difference is Bart Allen is the biggest difference. Bart Allen, they were actually roommates. And the funniest thing that they actually became superhero and villain, and they were still roommates during that time.
Like, yeah. In the comics, they interacted as superhero and villains? Or like,
what do you mean? They actually fought against each other, but then it's like, oh, Griffin got away, and then they both go back home, and they're like, oh, so how's your day? It's like, oh, yeah, you same old.
Oh, you know, just fighting you without knowing it.
Yeah. And the funny thing, they don't even know that they were good guy, bad guy.
You know, what's interesting, though, is... So we finally see scenes with Jesse and Wells, and they seem to reconcile their differences, and they seem to be fine now, with Wells finally being like, okay, I won't go to those extremes and those measures, but, you know, mm-hmm. I did do them for you.
Yeah.
But he kind of realizes, like, okay, that's not something you can be proud of. So he does, you know, he's regretful about the things he's done. I do genuinely think that that character feels quite a lot of regret. Not necessarily for the reasons, but, you know, for actually doing the things he did. Because let's face it, kill the dude.
Yeah.
Cold blood.
Oh, yeah.
But it's nice to see them reconcile, because it has shown before that when Jesse is with Wells, they tend to work a lot better together.
Yeah, and they're pretty much the brain power of the entire group. If you think about it, they're two smartest ones there. Like, even Dr. Wells said it too. She is really intelligent. She outdoes everybody.
And she's a huge asset that I guess they don't really utilize too much.
No.
Well, for starters, because she's been gone for a while, but also he tries to keep her in the background because he's afraid that Zoom might take her again.
Yeah. And that's essentially why she left, too. Like, well, if you keep smothering me, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
So as the episode progresses, we do see Wally finally interact with the Flash and essentially thank him and lets him know that he's... that he looks up to him and he was inspired by what he did.
I like that interaction too. It was kind of awkward.
Yeah, definitely.
Because one, Wally was pretty much speechless the whole time. Two, they actually put a voice stimulator on Barry, so because he does it himself normally, but now since he's slow, well, they had to make up something. And also, he didn't zoom out of there.
He just kind of like walked off. Yeah, I'm just gonna casually just walk off this building.
I thought that was funny because, oh man, it's the fact that what am I gonna do? It's like I can't really speed off, so I'll just do a anticlimactic walk away. it was bad. Like, it really was bad.
Now, at the end of the episode, we have two really, really big announcements, one right after the other. And, you know, one comes from Zoom when he's talking to Caitlin, and she tells him he's a monster. And he's like, you know what? It's not enough to conquer one world. I'm going to conquer both.
Yeah.
And that he kind of gets it in his mind where that's an accomplishment, you know? That's something to really be proud of, going to another world and dominating it and putting it under his rule. Because, I mean, he has Earth, too. There's no competition.
Nope.
And now he's going to go to Earth 1 and take it over. So that's one of the big revelations, that Zoom is finally going back to Earth 1, and he's going to do everything he can to rule that world.
Yeah, it's a big push that he wants to do now. As you can see by him doing that, you're getting so close to finding out what's going to be the aftermath of all that. And there's only like a few episodes left.
Yeah.
And the thing is, him conquering another world, that's going to have to be some of the most devastating, probably some of the most crazy visualized actual stuff that's going to happen. And that's what we really want to see, is because we've seen him take down Barry twice easily.
Yeah.
Now he has his Speed Force too. So he's technically cured. So he's at full power now. So what is going to happen is the real question.
That and also, well, another one of the revelations too, it's like at the end of the episode, Wells proclaims that they're going to build another particle accelerator and they're going to explode it again in order to get Barry his powers back, in order to really recreate the same experiment, which, as we all know, can be pretty dangerous, because even the first time around, it incapacitated Barry for quite a while.
9 months. That's how long he was out for. Struck by lightning and all, man. And then the fact is that Harrison Wells says, like, yeah, I can try to recreate the whole entire thing. And that shows that this is going to be, the next episode is probably going to be insane, because the amount of stuff that they have to do for that and recreate all that, Edson, that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it's going to definitely show the limits of what Harrison Wells can do, but also just it shows that it's Barry is kind of willing to do even the most dangerous things. Mm-hmm. They're kind of back up against the ropes, man. They really have no other recourses, really.
Yeah, and I always go back to Flashpoint every time. Like, Barry didn't have powers then, but he has recollection of everything. But then he went through that and actually got his powers back. So I want to see how the next episode turns out that way, because Jesus, like, this is one of those
times. There's a lot of good setup.
Yeah, it's a great setup for that too. And they have that pretty much everything there ready to happen. So I just want to see what happens already. Like, oh my God.
Too much good stuff.
Oh yeah.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of the Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Steven Bueno or the Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.